Today I'm going to end temporarily, I guess I would say, the series that I've been studying with us since February, entitled Things Most Surely Believed Among Us, that is, those who are faithful children of God. There are certain things that we should believe, certain things that we must believe and must adhere to if we expect to be pleasing in the sight of God. Hopefully, maybe in the future, I'll pick up this theme again and we'll do some other lessons under the series, but having preached on it for 4 months now, I think we will maybe end it temporarily, and then we'll start preaching other lessons. But I hope that these lessons that we've studied so far has been beneficial to us all. We've presented many lessons, as you know, on this particular topic. I hope that it has been beneficial in reaffirming our faith in God and in the Word of God. And also, I hope that many have been informed of the will of God for all mankind who seek to have a proper relationship with God. And as you notice that the scriptures that were read this morning talked about the judgment. And I thought that would be a fitting message to share with us this morning. And that's the main reason for the lesson that we have been preaching, and the reason for all lessons that are preached, is to encourage people to be ready for the judgment. Because our scripture text there in Acts chapter 17 makes it plain and clear, without a shadow of a doubt, that a judgment will come. The words of this text were spoken by the Apostle Paul as he went into the city of Athens, and he noticed there were many gods that were being worshipped there in this city. And then there was a god that had the inscription on it, "To the unknown God." And Paul says, "This is the God that I want to declare unto you." And so these words then were spoken in this city to an audience composed of some of the leading philosophers of that day. And Athens was a great center of culture. And they were at this place called the Areopagus, verse number 19. Well, while speaking to this audience of philosophers, Paul declared to them that there was coming a day of judgment for every member of the human family. The text in verse 31, where our lesson will be taken from today, teaches us several things about the judgment day to come. And since it is a part of the inspired word of God, you know, Paul says in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And so this is part of the scripture. So it was inspired by God. And since it was inspired by God, then we who are faithful children of God most surely believe that there will be a judgment day. There will be a judgment day. We don't know when it will be, but we know of a certainty. Remember what Luke said when we started off the series of lessons in Luke chapter 1. In verse number 4, he says, "I'm writing these things to you that thou mayest know the certainty of the things which thou hast been instructed." So we know of a certainty that there will be a judgment. And you and I need to make sure that we are prepared, that we are prepared when that day comes. We don't need to be getting prepared, but we need to be prepared when it comes. And since we don't know when it will come, then that says to you, and it ought to say to me, that we need to stay prepared for that judgment day. So looking at verse number 31, then let's point out a few things that this scripture teaches us. This one verse teaches us. Of course, we'll be considering other verses, but this one verse in the scripture text, Acts chapter 17 and verse number 31, teaches us several things about the judgment day to come. Look at what the Bible says in Acts 17 and verse 31 again, and I want to just go down through it part by part, if you will. The Bible says in Acts chapter 17 and verse number 31, verse number 31st, he had said, at the time of this ignorance, God winked at, or God overlooked. But now he has commanded all men to repent. What Paul was trying to get these Athenians, these people, to do was to turn from their idolatry, because they were worshiping idols, and Paul was trying to get them to turn from idolatry and start serving the true and the living God. So he says, and here's the reason why you need to turn, the reason why you need to repent. He says, because he has appointed a day. Now, that's the first thing that we learn about the judgment. Paul says, because he, and the he is God, because he has appointed a day. God has appointed a day. No man appointed the day, but God has appointed a day. So one thing we learn about the judgment to come is that God has appointed that day. And whatever God has appointed, whatever God says will happen, whatever God says will come, is going to come. There's nothing that you can do, nothing that I can do, nothing that anyone can do to stop God's plan from being fulfilled. God has said it's going to happen. And God is no liar. You and I lie. We might as well confess, sometimes we lie. If we don't lie in word, we lie in deed. Somebody said, well, no, I don't lie. We lie indeed sometimes. But God is no liar in word nor in deed. Titus chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. So God cannot lie. So God says, there's going to come a day. I have appointed a day. And Balaam, in the Old Testament, was made to know the same thing, that God cannot lie. In Numbers chapter 23 and verse number 19, notice what the Bible says there. He says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? What's the answer? Yes. That's a rhetorical question here. Has he said, and shall he not do it? The answer is yes. There's no other answer but yes. Whatever God says, God is going to do. Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? What's the answer? Yes. Again, whatever God says is going to happen. So God has appointed a day. And the Hebrew writer picks up his pen of inspiration in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27. He says, for as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. So we believe, we most surely believe, that there is going to be a judgment. Now, if we believe that most surely, then we ought to live like it. I need to say that again. If we believe that, then we ought to live like it. Because if we're not living like it, then evidently we don't believe it. Evidently we think it's not going to come. Evidently we think we're not going to have to give an account. I'll talk about that a little bit later. Are we going to have to give an account of everything that we have done? So we most surely believe then that there will be a judgment. You know, many inspired men have talked about the judgment. Solomon talked about the judgment. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We're going to be studying from that, I believe, of God's will on Wednesday night as Brother Hall concludes the series that he's been studying on, with us on the book of Ecclesiastes. Chapter 12 and verse number 13 and 14. Solomon says there, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, he says. What is it, Solomon? Fear God, number one, and keep his commandment, number two, for this is the whole duty of man. Why? He tells us why. Don't you like when folks tell you why? Now, I know sometimes you don't have to have the answer as the reason why, but God tells us why in his book on many occasions. He says, for God shall bring every work into the judgment. As it again, the judgment. With every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So Solomon talked about the judgment. And then the Lord Jesus Christ himself talked about the judgment. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 20 through 24, he talks about the judgment. Talked about some people that would be more tolerable in the day of judgment. Look at what he says. He said, then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. What's Paul's discussion all about in Acts chapter 17, verse 30 through the end of the chapter? Repentance. That's what it's about, repentance, because God has appointed a day. So Jesus says here that he upbraid some, the Bible says, because they repented not. They refused to repent. He says, woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Verse 22, he says this. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. Jesus talked about the judgment. Solomon talks about the judgment. Jesus talks about the judgment. The inspired Peter picks up his pen of inspiration and talks about the judgment. First Peter chapter 4 and verse 17. For the time will come, he says, when judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it began, he says, with us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And then John talks about the judgment. Here in 1 John 4 and verse 17, here is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. And I'm preaching these lessons, and all lessons are preached so that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. John says, again, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. And I want to tell us this morning that if we are not living like we believe there is a judgment coming, you can assure if the judgment's, and it will slip upon us because we don't know when it's coming, if we end in the judgment living in that same shape, we will never have boldness in the day of judgment. You know what the idea is being expressed in John's writing? Is that when the judgment comes, we don't have to worry about a thing at all. We have all confidence in the world that the Lord will say, come ye blessed of my Father. That's the only way, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, we can have boldness in the judgment, is to be living like we believe in the judgment, that is obeying the will of God each and every day of our lives. Because again, we don't know when the judgment is going to come. So these men talked about the judgment. So number one, we learn in this text, verse 31 of Acts chapter 17, is that the judgment is certainly going to come. What else do we learn in this text? We look at the text again, Acts 17 and verse 31. Notice again what it says. The Bible says, because he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness. What's he going to do? He's going to judge the world in righteousness. But what we want to pick out of this passage then is world. Who's he going to judge? The world. The world. That means people. Mankind. He's going to judge the world in righteousness. He's going to judge the whole world. Nobody will be left out. Whether we want to or not, we're going to be there. Nobody will miss that appointment, as I say many a time. The whole world will be there. All nations will be there. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 25, verse number 31 and 32. He's talking about the judgment. He says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Verse 32 says this, and before him shall be gathered all nations. Not some nations, but all nations. All nations. Everybody are going to have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You know, just a shame, just last night or yesterday on the news, Ireland has become the first country in the world to vote on and pass, have you heard anything crazy as this? Homosexuality as a way of life, or same-sex marriage. Folks flew in and traveled in from wherever they were living to go back home to Ireland to vote on making same-sex marriage legal. The whole country now has endorsed it. Over 60%, the news report says, said yes to this. What a shame. And you know that, Brother Jane, that's probably just a starting point. There's going to be some more countries if the world lasts long enough to do the same thing. Everybody are going to have to stand before God. Now, that's not the only thing you want to have to stand before God for, but I'm just making that as a point, since I'm talking about all nations. So the entire nation of Ireland now has said, the majority, that is all right for same-sex marriage. How can anybody turn their face up, or thumb their nose up, I should say, in the face of God like that? What a shame. But all nations will be judged by God. And he says, and he shall separate them one from another, as the sheep divided his, or rather the shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. He's going to say to the sheep, sit on the right side, and on to the goats, on the left side. And I hope and trust that all of us today are living such that we won't be classified as a goat in the judgment. Because it's coming. It's coming. But all nations will be there. That's my point. And when all nations stand, or all people stand before the judgment seat of Christ, they're not going to be judged as a nation. And thank God for those minority of folks who said no to that in Ireland. 62% of them said yes. But do the math, the rest of the percentage said no. Thank God for them. So we won't be judged as a nation, or as a race, or as a city, but as individuals. That's how we're going to be judged. As an individual. Because the Bible says this in Romans chapter 14. The Bible says in Romans chapter 14 and verse number 10, beginning, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou sit at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, the Bible says, as I live, says the Lord. That's another sure statement there. He said, as I live, and I know the Lord is going to live. Because the Bible said, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And Jesus said in Revelation that I am he that was dead, but I am alive forevermore. And so that tells me that the Lord is going to live. He's going to live. So he says, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. And verse number 12 says this, so then every one of us, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And that means herself too. But every one of us, each individual, are going to have to give an account of themselves before God. So who will be judged? Paul says again, well, he will judge the world, the entire world, in righteousness. Yes, indeed, then, the judgment is coming. Well, who's going to be the judge? That's pointed out also in verse number 31. When we go back to verse number 31, again, we look at what the Bible says. The Bible says again, because he has appointed a day in the world in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men in that he has raised him from the dead. Now, who is he talking about? Christ Jesus. Peter, a man of inspiration on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, he says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that the same Jesus whom you crucified, he says, God has raised him from the dead. So God raised Jesus from the dead. And so Paul says, God is going to judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has done what? Raised from the dead. So Jesus Christ then will be our judge. That's why Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10, so we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone, that is again, as an individual, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to the things he has done, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So Christ is going to be the judge. He's our advocate now. He's our friend now. He'll be our friend then in the judgment if we are doing his will. But right now, he's our advocate. He's interceding for us. He's our mediator. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 1, John says these things right unto you, little children, that you sin not. Yet if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Jesus is our advocate. He's on our side. He will stand there and plead for us in this life. He's our mediator, and we need a mediator because we can't get to God without him. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 says he's our mediator. But then at the judgment, he'll not be our advocate. He'll not be our mediator. He'll be our judge. And that's why Jesus said in John chapter 12 and verse number 48, he that rejected me and receiveth not my words has one that judges him. For the words that I have spoken unto you, the same will judge you in the last day. So Jesus is going to be our judge. And he has assured us, that is, God has assured us that he'll be our judge. As we've just read in Acts chapter 17 and verse 31 again. He will be our judge. So our advocate, our mediator now, but then he's going to be our judge. When I stand before him, on that last day. I want to hear him say, well done, don't you? But as I say so many times, you know how I say it, Northwest. He'll never say well done until we do well. And doing well means obeying his will. And we don't need to wait until tomorrow to start obeying his will. We need to start today if we haven't been doing it already. We need to start today and keep on doing it. And I know from time to time we will make a mistake. But as we make those mistakes, repent of it and turn back to God. Because again, he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. Remember, Jesus talked about some people who didn't repent. So we need to be people that will repent. Well, last of this morning, what will be the basis of our judgment? In other words, what are we going to be judged on or judged by? Well, one thing we're going to be judged by is we're going to be judged by our words and our deeds. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 and 37. The Bible says, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give what? Account thereof in the day of judgment. We've got to watch what we say. Can't say things just, oh, I'm just joking, I'm just kidding. Got to watch what we say. Every idle word, he says, we'll give an account of in the day of judgment. For by thy words, he says, thou shalt be what? Justified. And by thy words, thou shalt be condemned. Oh, yes. We'll be judged by our words and our deeds. And as Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 14 says, even those secret things that we think nobody know anything about, we're going to be judged by those also. Yes, we're going to be judged. You know why? Because God can see in secret. He knows what's happened behind closed doors. He knows what happens even in our minds, even if we don't speak it, if we're thinking it. He knows that. That's why when Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 6, about when you're doing your alms and that kind of thing. You notice what he says in Matthew 6, verse 3 and 4? He says, but when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. And let me say this, and this is not part of the lesson, but let me say this. Well, this is part of what this verse is saying. When we do our good deeds as far as our alms is concerned and that kind of thing, we don't have to tell folks. Sometimes folks go around bragging about what they've done. Just do your good deeds and go on about your business. You don't have to tell anybody. God knows it. So Jesus says, when you do your good deeds, when you do your alms, he said, do them in secret. And our Father, which seeth in secret, will reward thee openly. Now, when you are blessed, then folks will see that, hey, you must have been living right. You must have been doing some things right. Folks will see the blessings, but you don't have to talk about it. You don't have to brag about what you've done, what you did, and all of those kind of things. Just go ahead and do it, because God knows it already. So then, God then seeth in secret, so we can't hide anything from him. The Bible says in Proverbs 15 and verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. God sees us wherever we are. And God knows whatever we do. God knows whatever we think. Because the psalmist talked about it in Psalm 139, 1 through 4. Read it sometime. And it'll talk about the knowledge of God. So my point is, again, that we're going to be judged by our words and our deeds and even those secret things we're going to be judged by. And when we do our good deeds, as I said, we don't have to broadcast it. We don't have to talk about it. Sometimes I guess folks think that, well, if I talk about it, maybe that'll make God remember it. God knows about it whether we talk about it or not. And he will not forget it. Look at what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 10. He says, For God is not unrighteous to forget. I'm glad that I serve and that we serve a God who will not forget. God is not unrighteous, he said, who will forget your work and labor of love. God will not forget it. He will not forget it because God is keeping a record of what we do. He's keeping a record of what we do. The Bible even talks about a book of remembrance. God keeps a record of what we do. And since God is keeping it, nobody can go in there and erase anything out of that book but God. God is keeping a record. He has a book of remembrance. In the days of Malachi, Malachi said this in Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 16. Notice what he said. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened, or listened, and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them, the Bible says, that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Folks who are obedient to the Lord, God knows about it. He's keeping a record of it. He's keeping a record of those who don't obey him. But he's keeping a record. And so he will not forget. We don't have to worry about him forgetting. It's on our record and it's there to stay. And he will always remember it. He has a book of remembrance. What would be the result then of the judgment? What would be the results of the judgment? Number one, it will be final. Did you hear what I say? It will be final. In other words, that's it. You'll never have a chance to correct anything that need correcting when we stand before God in the judgment. Because however we stand there before him, that's the way we're going to be. It will be final. No appeal will overturn it. You know, when cases go through courts now, you can appeal it, and sometimes it's overturned, but not at the judgment. There's no lawyer that'll be there to appeal the case for you. You know why? And I'm not condemning lawyers, but I'm saying every lawyer is going to have to stand for themselves. So they won't have time standing for you and standing for me. They got to give an account for themselves. Everybody, again, must give an account to God. No appeal will overturn. And even Brother James and those who work in the jails, no parole. You won't stand to sit before a parole board. And here three says yes and two say no. You won't have no chance of parole. It'll be final. I'm trying to get us to understand how we need to be ready for the judgment. The parable of the story that was told in Luke chapter 16 of the rich man and Lazarus. Y'all remember that story? God wanted him to know that his situation couldn't be changed. In Luke chapter 16, in verse number 26, rather, the Bible says this, and beside all of this, you know, he had pleaded for Father Abraham to send Lazarus to dip his hand in some water and just touch his tongue because he was tormented in this flame. But he went on to say to him, and beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. It's fixed. So that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Even if Lazarus wanted to come over there, he can't do it. And then he said, neither can they pass to us that would come from this. If somebody was over there and you wanted to send them over here to get some water, it can't happen because it's fixed. it's fixed. And Jesus, back to Matthew chapter 25 again, when all the nations stood before him and they were judged, and then he talked about those that had done the good deeds and those who didn't do the good deeds. Yeah. He said then, verse number 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. That's why I said earlier, I hope and trust that all of us will so live that we will be sheep. Because it's the goats that's going to go into everlasting punishment. Where do you want to go? I know you want to go into life eternal. So Paul says, you need to turn away from this idol worship. And you need to turn to God. Because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has given assurance in that he has raised him from the dead. So only in this life, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, do we have a chance to prepare for the judgment. Will you be ready? Are you ready? Will I be ready? Am I ready? Only if we are obeying the Lord. Because the day is coming. God's got that set. Nothing you and I can do about it. It's coming. Let's be ready, church. Let's be ready, friends and neighbors. Because it's coming. Let's do the right thing. Obey God. And if you're here today and you don't have the right relationship with God, you notice I said earlier that I have been preaching these series of lessons to encourage us to make sure that we have the right relationship with God. If you don't have the right relationship with God, then today, the Bible says it's the day of salvation and today is the accepted time. Don't put it off. Get that right relationship today. Are you a member of the church that Jesus died for on the cross? And all of you perhaps may not have been here through all of these series of lessons. I realize that. But one of the lessons I talked about is that the church is necessary for our salvation. The one church that Jesus died for. So if you want to be saved, you need to be a member of that one church. It's the Church of Christ. Are you a member? If you're not, I urge you today to believe in Jesus as the Son of God and repent of your past sins. Confess that belief in Jesus and then be baptized in a water of grave of baptism for the remission of sins. When you do that, the Lord will add you to his church. Not any church, but his church. Become a member of his church and live faithful unto death. And when the judgment comes, if it's today, or if it's tomorrow, or if it's 1,000 years from now, you'll be ready. You live faithful unto death. You're already a member of the body of Christ, but somehow you're walking contrary to the will of God. You're doing things that you know you ought not do that's contrary to the will of God. Not treating folks right, not forgiving folks. Not worshiping like you're supposed to. Not giving of your means like you're supposed to. Whatever it is that causes you to stand a guilty distance from God. If you're in his old category, you're not ready for the judgment. You need to get right. So you need to repent. If you need to confess, why not do that? Or maybe you just need prayers. Whatever your need is, we want to beg you to come. Because we most surely believe that there will be a judgment day, which has come as we stand and as we sing.